Welcome to Open Your Eyes, a podcast about opening our eyes to a new view of life. I'm glad you joined us today. You know, each day we live, we have a series of choices of where we spend our time, what to think, and how to go about our day. And some people choose to fill the gaps in their day with worthwhile things like uplifting podcasts. This podcast is born from a deep desire to help us all live a happier life, and the firm belief that a powerful way to make that happen is to open our eyes to new ways of seeing life. So, hopefully today, in this time together, we'll get a new perspective of how to think and live better. And if you like this podcast, please share it with a friend. It just may be what they need in their life today. Let's get started. Today, I'd like to talk about finding and listening to your true voice. On a cool spring day in March, a local fly fisherman was enjoying the morning hatch in Spanish Fork Canyon. Fly fishermen use the word hatch to describe the moment when insect nymphs, which live under the water, emerge onto the water surface. After surfacing, the insects half dance, half fly along the water as they find their wings before taking flight. And this movement from the water to open air exposes the insects to predatory fish, such as trout, often causing a feeding frenzy. Now, a skilled fisherman can match the hatch by choosing the right fly and presenting it in a way that mimics the behavior, size, and color of the emerging insects. Well, on this March day, as the fisherman waded along the shallows of the Spanish Fork River, he saw what looked like a car upside down in the river just below an overpass bridge. As he hurried closer, he could see an arm hanging outside the driver's side window. He reached for his cell phone and called local police. The Spanish Fork dispatcher took the call and immediately sent rescuers to the scene. Police officers Tylee Beddoes, Jared Warner, and two others were the first to arrive. There was little information passed on from dispatch, only that a car was upside down in the river and had apparently driven off the bridge. When the officers arrived, they spotted the car wheels up in the river. As they ran down the rocky embankment and approached the car, they heard a voice. Officer Tylee Beddoes would later tell reporters, "It was at that time we heard a distinct female voice from the car saying, 'Help me, help us.' And that is when we said back, 'We're trying to help you. We're trying our best to get you out.'" All four officers at the scene heard the voice. As they waded into the river, and with the help of bystanders, the officers were able to tip up the car above the water so they could see inside the upside-down car. What they saw immediately took their breath away. Strapped into the driver's seat was 25-year-old Lynn Jennifer Grossbeck. It was obvious that she had died on impact. Secured in her baby seat in the back seat of the small Dodge Caliber was 18-month-old Lily Grossbeck, hanging upside down inches from the water surface. She was unconscious, and worse yet, when the officers tipped up the car, they tipped her head underwater. There was no one else in the car. Well, perplexed by the voice that they'd heard, but fixed on reviving baby Lily, the officers extracted her from the car and carried her to the waiting ambulance. As the ambulance sped to the hospital, rescue workers would revive baby Lily and keep her breathing until they could get her to the emergency room. Lily would survive. As the facts unfolded, investigators determined Lily's mom, Jennifer, had hit the cement embankment and driven the car off the bridge about 11 o'clock the night before. Jennifer died immediately of blunt force trauma to the head. No one had seen the crash. But what of the voice the officers heard yelling for help? All of the officers at the scene were interviewed afterwards, and all said the same thing. "We heard a voice calling to us to help." They could not explain where it came from. Critics have since said the officers heard what they wanted or expected to hear. It wasn't a real voice. But the officers would all attest to the fact that it was a voice, and they heard it and responded to it. Well, the truth is that we all have voices in our life that we can't always explain. Each day, a myriad of voices speak to us. Impressions, self-talk, voices from the past, the shoulds in our brain, or the voice that you follow when you have a hunch. Sometimes the voice is a whisper, and at other times, a loud, sudden sense of purpose. Some voices keep us from doing what we know we should, and others move us to action. What voice do you listen to? Because the truth is, there are true and correct voices that if we learn to listen to them, we can improve our life, our actions, and become more of who we're supposed to become. The source of that voice may be our educated conscience, God, voices of friends, or others who have experienced what we may be experiencing, and we need to know how to listen. Do you know how many paintings Van Gogh sold in his lifetime? Only a few. In 1889, Vincent Van Gogh wrote the following to his brother. "Now, I as a painter shall never amount to much of anything important. I'm absolutely sure of it." As a young man, he was dismissed from the Antwerp Art Academy. For years, his destiny, his success, and his purpose in life eluded him. He heard voices inside his head, and they would eventually take over his mental well-being. And despite painting over 900 paintings while he was alive, he only sold a few, one of which was The Red Vineyard at Arles. Now, if you've seen The Red Vineyard at Arles, you would wonder how you could ever look at something so beautiful and doubt your talent. Have you ever doubted your talent? Ever been doing something you felt you were meant to do and could do, but for whatever reason doubted your ability? Ever tried and slowed down for whatever reason and then found yourself unable to break away from your habits or circumstances? Well, in spite of his doubts and demons, today Van Gogh's paintings sell at record prices. One, a portrait of Dr. Gachet, sold for $105 million back in 1990. My favorite, and perhaps his most famous, Starry Night, is part of the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. Its value estimated at $300 million. By the way, Starry Night was painted in June of 1889 inside Van Gogh's room at the asylum at Saint-Rémy. It was just 2 months after he told his brother he would never amount to much of anything as a painter. In total, Van Gogh produced 2,100 different works of art. The total estimated value of those today, over $3 billion. Here's my point. Like Van Gogh, we all have immense potential inside us. It's there. And I believe one of the true voices of all the voices whispering to Van Gogh was telling him who he really was, one of the greatest artists of all time, that his work would inspire millions. But Van Gogh wouldn't listen. Now, will you listen to the true voice whispering to you? Because sometimes you get so in the thick of thin things, doing the wrong things or doing the right things halfway, that things get distorted, less than clear, less than easy. You begin to forget why you're here and who you are. So in case somehow you missed the message for this podcast today, let me say this as clearly as I can. You are extraordinary. You were not made or put here by your creator just to get by or to wait until it's convenient. You have within you the DNA to make your life fabulous and remarkable. You may have done amazing things in your life thus far, but those things are nothing compared to what awaits you in the future. You weren't placed here to paint an ordinary life, but to make your life a masterpiece of incredible worth. And I believe you've been put in the circumstances in which you've been placed for a reason, for a purpose. And you've been given the choices before you because if you choose well, you can make something extraordinary of your life and the lives of those around you. So, listen to the voices telling you who you really are, a son or daughter of God, a person endowed with great talents, because it is what we think, our decisions, not our conditions, that determine our destiny. The problem is that our circumstances can make us deaf to what we should hear, to the voices we should listen to. You know, as the story goes, there are two fish swimming along. And as they're swimming along, they happen to pass an older fish swimming the other way, who nods at them as he passes and says, "Morning, boys, how's the water?" As the two young fish swim on for a bit, one eventually turns to the other and says, "What the heck is water?" Well, the point is, the most obvious and important realities are often the hardest for us to see. Things can be right in front of us, but we don't see them. For example, you're listening to this podcast and going about your life, attempting to do remarkable things. And when will you realize that you have the potential within you to make your life, your future, amazing. Will you hear that voice inside of you telling you this? So if all of this is true, then how do we learn to listen to the right voices in our life? If we listen to every voice that came our way each day, we'd likely run to and fro in a manic rush of doing this and that, unable to focus on what's most important. So how do you focus on that right voice? Well, first, decide what matters most. This is a powerful and liberating principle. When you decide what matters most, it becomes a louder voice in your life. For example, let's say you decide to be debt-free in 7 years. And you decide this because you want to create enough wealth in your life that by the time you hit retirement, you can choose what you want to do and have the financial resources to do it. This decision allows you to listen to the right voice. When a voice tempts you to buy with credit, the right voice speaks louder. When a voice shouts that you need a new car, the right voice shouts that you can make do for another year. You know, in my last semester of MBA school, my professor set up a special class for soon-to-be graduates. And if the students chose to do so, he allowed spouses or partners to attend the class with us. In his class one day, he taught us a simple principle. He said, as you leave graduate school and start to earn money, except for a home and education, don't buy it unless you can pay cash for it. Well, after class that day, my wife and I talked about this principle of money management. We felt his words were inspired, and we decided to live debt-free, that it was an important principle that mattered most to us. Not long after graduation, we moved to Cincinnati. Excited to be earning a salary, we rented a townhome and went shopping for a washer and dryer. At the appliance store, I remember standing in front of a new, shiny, white washer and dryer set. They were beautiful. Of course, we didn't have the cash to pay for it. If we were going to buy it, we'd have to use credit. As we stood there, Jen looked at me and I looked at her, and we both knew we couldn't buy it unless we paid cash for it. So, heads hanging low, we drove to the secondhand store. There, we bought a used green washer and yellow dryer for $25 a piece. And we made a pact, a deal, that as soon as they stopped working, we would buy a new washer and dryer set. And wouldn't you know it? That old washer and dryer worked for 10 years. But because we decided that living debt-free was important, at the age of 36, we were entirely debt-free. No mortgage, no payments whatsoever. And we've lived debt-free ever since. Our life has been entirely different with so much more freedom because we decided what matters most. And when we decided what mattered most, that was the voice that we'd listen to. You see, throughout each day, you have a voice that speaks to you and makes suggestions. For most of us, there are competing voices that come to us all the time. Let me give you a simple example. Let's say you decide to exercise, and the only time to do that each day is at 5:30 a.m. You set your alarm clock, and the voices start. One tells you to get up and fulfill your goal. Another says that you have an hour, and you can rearrange your day and give you another hour of sleep. Another says, oh, you're really tired because of the bad day you had yesterday. And another voice, and another voice, and another. Which do you listen to? Well, just by deciding what matters most to you, you will determine which voice you will follow and begin the process of hearing the voice that speaks louder than others in your life. No doubt some of you listening today question whether there is a right voice to listen to. There is. It's your educated and deliberate self. It will speak to you if you ask the right questions. Let me give you a simple example. I'm going to ask you two questions, and I'd like you to write down the answers. If you can't write it down, please answer in your head or speak the words to yourself. Here's the first question. In regards to your most important relationship in life, what is the one thing you could do right now to improve that relationship? Write this down or think of the answer. Second question. In regards to your most important goal, this could be in regards to building your business or your career or anything else. What is the one thing that you could do now to be better? Now, it's likely in answering at least one of these questions, you are listening to the right voice. That voice will speak to you at important times. That's why when you focus on what matters, you're listening to the right voice. Next, one reason sometimes we can't hear the right voices speaking to us in life is that life is full of distractions. Life fills up with emergencies, and emergencies become commonplace. We get in a rut of doing the same things over and over again, and habits keep us from breaking free, and soon we don't know how to listen. And when things get difficult and we get discouraged, the discouragement shouts so loudly in our ears that we can't hear anything else. Whenever we begin something worthwhile, things get hard. You start a new business or set a new goal, and sure enough, the difficulties begin. And I don't care what it is, whenever you're trying to attempt something worthwhile, there's a part that is not fun, it seems tedious, and is difficult. If you're starting or restarting a business, you have to approach people, you need new customers, and this may not be fun. And when you focus on what is not fun, on what you don't like, it robs you of your mojo and keeps you from hearing the right voices. So here's my suggestion. Focus on what you love. Focus on what you love because it invites the right voices to speak to you. For years, my son and I had a little bit of a strained relationship. He's a little different than me, and I was immature, and I was busy or traveling, and I didn't develop the kind of friendship that I should have. What I didn't like from time to time was I didn't think he worked as hard as I thought he could. He didn't necessarily pay the price, and he struggled. And what I came to realize is that he could read my feelings for him in every one of our interactions, and I was genuinely painting him with a negative brush. So I decided to focus exclusively on what I loved about him and completely forget what I hated. I loved that he was kind. I loved that he was humble. I loved that when he was around, everyone laughed. And the thing is, there was so much to love about him. He had so many genuine qualities that I never had. It was hard at first, but I focused only on his good. Not just in word, but in feeling, wholeheartedly. I gave up any feeling of disappointment or anything else and focused only on what I loved. And you know what? Soon he started to change. He started to thrive. We started to genuinely communicate. Today he's an extremely hard and diligent worker. He excelled in school. He's married a wonderful woman. They have a beautiful daughter, and he has a job in which he is a fine leader. Focus on what you love. Completely abandon your focus on what you don't. Let it go. When you do, watch. You will begin to hear the voices that point you in the right way. Next, whenever you begin something extraordinary in life, a new job or business or any challenge, there's often someone in your way. And often this someone is a primary figure in your life. We all have these people. They have to be in your life. You don't have a choice. But they are often a hindrance to change or progress. It seems you must go out of your way often for them, and they slow you down. And the volume of them in your life or the residual ill feelings you have for them can drown out other things that you should be listening to. I have someone like this in my life. No matter what I do or how I try, they are inconsiderate, care only about themselves, don't encourage me even though I try to do the opposite. It seems I give and they only take. They are focused on making me feel less than. Maybe you have a team member like this. And if there are people who have made a difference in your life that must remain a part of your life but cause you to continually lose ground, give them a lifetime pass. They're important to you because you wouldn't be where you are without them. You owe them. They've helped you in some way to get to where you are. So take whatever thing they do that offends you or robs you of your good feelings, the inconsiderate part of their nature, and give them a lifetime pass. Every time they interfere or drag you down, just give them a pass. In my mind, I literally say, it's okay. He gets a lifetime pass. It's already decided. They have a pass. And you move beyond the negative feelings for them immediately because you've given a pass. Now, you can't give a pass to dozens of people in your life. It may not be healthy to have that many of those types of people in your life. But those that must be in your life, give them a pass. And this will clear up interfering voices or doubting voices or discouraged voices that come your way and give you clarity. Next, if you've set a goal and are having a hard time listening to the voices that would give you resolve to reach that goal, here's something I've learned that works exceptionally well. And it works like this. I've seen so many people set goals only to get 2 to 3 weeks into achieving the goal and realize it's hard. They don't feel like continuing to struggle and they stop. You see, whenever we do something worthwhile, like change, comes with a struggle. And most people only give a half-hearted effort at the beginning. And of course, that doesn't work. So they get discouraged and they realize they aren't happy or succeeding, so they stop. But whenever you're trying something new, if you only give it a half-hearted effort, it's likely not going to work. Too often, we continually ask, how does this feel? And we keep checking ourselves each day and voting to see if we're happy. And as a result, we'll lose the vote for sure. We give up too early. You never will know if something works until you give it everything you have, a wholehearted effort, and do so for enough time. So my advice is, on anything new or anything you're trying to change, give it a wholehearted effort for 90 days. Resist entirely any assessment as to whether it's working or not, or how you feel. Simply do what you have decided to do with all your heart. Think of it this way. You've already voted. You're going to go for 90 days. And when struggles come and you're tempted to listen to the voice that wants you to stop or decide whether it's working, your response is, today's not voting day. Voting day is after 90 days. You'll cast your votes then on the outcome of the rightness of this goal. But today, not voting day. So for example, if you've started a new exercise routine and diet, and the voices start to evaluate and speak to you, today isn't voting day, that's in 90 days, stick to your diet. What will this do? It will eliminate all the competing voices in your life telling you why you can't or what excuses you have today or rethinking your decisions. It'll free you up from all this clutter in your mind and allow you to hear the good voice, the productive voice, the inspired voice that you need to hear. Okay, last suggestion. Finish this sentence for me. I'll be happy when... What's your answer? I'll be happy when I make my first million. It's just an illusion. You'll want another. I'll be happy when I get that new house. I'll be happier when I lose 20 pounds. We act as if achieving the goal will make us happy. And you might be a little happier. And you're not there today, but you can be happy today. So fully accept where you are. Why is this important? Because when you accept where you are, you put aside the voice that tells you you aren't happy or that you're discouraged. Accepting where you are means this. You are exactly where you're supposed to be. Your earnings may be lower last year. You may be older. You may not be as healthy. It's okay. Accept this is where God has placed you or your decisions have led you, and you can't change those past decisions. Accept the progress that you're making today. It doesn't mean settle. Authentically and humbly acknowledging where you are in light of where you're going. Yes, I'm 10 pounds heavier than I want to be. I'm going to accept it and start to exercise. My business isn't where I want it to be. I accept where I am and I'm going to change my activity. And watch, you'll be able to hear the inspiration you need to go where you can and should go. One more thought. Give your children and yourself the script to listen to. Almost everyone is familiar with Oprah Winfrey's story, a Black girl raised by her grandmother in the 1950s in rural Mississippi. As a young girl, she was traumatized by sexual abuse. She grew up incredibly poor, and her childhood was unstable and unfair. With a revolving series of caregivers, the only consistent thing about her environment was she was consistently uprooted. You might ask yourself, with everything that is so unfair about her childhood, how did she become who she became? What voice did she listen to? Well, interestingly, by the age of 3, she had already been taught to read at a young age because she read the Bible a lot. Her grandmother gave her a script to hear by taking her to church regularly. There she was nicknamed the preacher because she could recite Bible verses and could speak with great skill to groups of people. One author wrote of her, little by little, unconsciously at first, Oprah was picking up the very skills that would allow her to captivate audiences decades later. In time, her grandmother and later her father would take her to speak in front of crowds at every church within driving distance. Congregations clamored to hear this wonder child who spoke like a leader. Oprah said, "From the time I was 8 years old, I was a champion speaker. I spoke for every women's group, every banquet, and every church function." Well, her father gave her a script by taking her to the library regularly, which she loved, and it seemed to hide the trauma that was happening elsewhere in her life. Reading, sermons, speaking, Bible learning, faith, and prayer, these were the voices filling her mind as a young girl. At age 17, Oprah won the Miss Black Tennessee beauty pageant and was offered an on-air job at WVOL, a radio station serving the African-American community in Nashville. She also won a full scholarship to Tennessee State University, where she majored in speech communications and performing arts. She continued working at the radio station and soon left school and signed on with a local television station as a reporter and anchor. As her bio says, in 1976, she moved to Baltimore to join WJZ TV News as a co-anchor. There, she co-hosted her first talk show, People Are Talking. She found she had a niche that perfectly suited her outgoing, empathetic personality, and word soon spread to other cities. In January of 84, she was invited to Chicago to host a faltering half-an-hour morning program. In less than a year, she turned AM Chicago into the hottest show in town. The format was soon expanded to an hour, and in September 1985, it was renamed the Oprah Winfrey Show. Here's my point. Give yourself and your kids every advantage. Fill their minds with the scripts and voices that can inspire and empower them later in life. One of my favorite stories in Scripture is of Moses. Many of you know the story. Moses, a favored prince in the house of Pharaoh, comes to see who he really is and is cast out of Pharaoh's house. Living in the wilderness, he pursues the path presented and comes to know God and God's calling for him in life. And he is called to bring the children of Israel, the slaves, out of Egypt to freedom in the land that God's prepared for them. And through a series of miracles, the slaves are released and begin their march. But after they begin, Pharaoh changes his mind and sends his army, horses, and chariots to kill Moses and the people. With Pharaoh's army in pursuit, the children of Israel come to the Red Sea. At its narrowest point, the Red Sea is 17 miles wide. At its widest point, 190 miles wide. There is no time to go around, nor is it feasible given their circumstances. And Moses walks to the water's edge. A voice gives him a prompting to put his staff into the water. He listens to that voice. There, Moses puts his staff in the water and the Red Sea parts. The children of Israel pass through the Red Sea on what the scripture says is dry ground. After they pass, Pharaoh's army follows and the sea closes on them and the army of Pharaoh perishes. Well, the scripture says Moses didn't know beforehand what he was to do. But when he arrived at the water's edge, he was inspired in that moment to pursue the path ahead. And with that, he put his staff in the water, had faith in the voice he heard, and God parted the sea. The same can happen to you and me if we listen to the right voices and act on them. Waters, difficulties, habits will part and allow us to walk where we should in our life. Unlike Van Gogh, the minute you understand where you are and listen to the right voices, you will progress. Give your whole heart for a period of time to whatever you're doing. Give the right people in your way a lifetime pass. Accept where you're starting and follow the good voices that come to you and watch. You will find your voice. You will also find success. Most of all, thanks for being here today. And don't forget to share this podcast with a friend and join us next week for another podcast as we learn to open our eyes to who and what we can become.